Here we are. It's been a week, right? Nah. A month? A year? Oh, crap. It's been a while. Now, for that weird fucking intro that I just did, it's been a year and a half since I started my wrestling podcast. And I think the main reason why was because, like I said on my, the article that I just wrote 2 years ago, that I was so goddamn nervous that I got too nervous to a point where it led to me overthinking, that led to an anxiety attack, then led to, but I've always wanted to bring that back. Oh, fun fact, I wanted to bring the podcast back as like a midweek report, like summer of last year, but that didn't happen, obviously. So, yeah, that is with a brand new intro, by the way. I hope you guys like the intro. It's a very Jon Stewart Last Week Tonight with John Oliver kind of intro. So I really, really hope you guys like that, because the last intro that I did was sounded like something out of like an investigational documentary. You know, those audio like series that they do, you know. So yeah, this is the best things about pro wrestling this month, where I talk about the best things about pro wrestling this month, whether it could be a match, a segment, a character development, anything that celebrates the best in pro wrestling that month. Now, before I start this show, let me introduce myself a little bit. My name is Omar. I started a blog that I'm still continuing to this day called Play Hard Wrestling Post for 4 years, and I've gained a solid 3 viewers a month, so you know I'm popping off. So I started writing. I didn't get consistent with it till June of 2018, so yeah, 4 years ago, and the journey just went like this ever since. I don't know why I just got into a brain fart. Just get used to it. Okay, this podcast sucks, man. Oh my god, that's it. That's it for the show. So anyways, so I started this in 2018. I only did like Raw and SmackDown reviews. I didn't create like original content till like July, where I started thinking of doing editorials. Fun fact, if you ever want to get some traction, please do not post your articles on Reddit, because they would literally scrutinize your ass, thinking that you've committed a war crime or some shit. Like, just don't do it. So the article that I posted was about dirt sheets, and are they really tabloids? Are they not really tabloids? You can find it on the archive, playhardwrestlingpodcast.blogspot.com. God damn it, I need a domain name. So the journey went on from there, and even from that point on, I've always wanted to start a podcast, but I needed a different idea. You know, I didn't want to be, you know, the white dude with a huge beard, having another wrestling podcast talking about Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, Impact, with a little sprinkle of, with, you know, sprinkle of the news, what's going on in the news, and I don't want to be that guy. So I just wanted to do something different. So I had like 5 different ideas. One of them was this. The other one was like the exact opposite of this, which was the worst thing about pro wrestling this week. But, you know, I need some positivity. And plus, this is like where I don't need to write like a whole script in order to, you know, make the show interesting. It's easier for me, basically, because I write articles all day. Might as well, like, do this. And also, the other reason why I started this site, I mean, not started this site. So let's go back to the, why did I transition from best things about pro wrestling this week to this month? Well, there are several reasons. First of which being, I got enrolled in a university. Plus the job that I was taking that I'm currently working right now, just took a toll in my so-called productivity. So I was like, I might and Friday is a day off. No, Friday is not a day off. Technically, while Friday is a is you know, a leading to the weekend, and I could like record later at night. I also do think it is a hobby for me, but it's a hobby that I take way too seriously, and I just cannot do this every single week, rushed and not prepared. What I mean by prepared is put a little bit of bullet points like I do now. So yeah, that's pretty much my introduction. I rambled on. You know, thank you for all the 3 viewers that reads my articles every single month. Thanks, Mom. So yeah, let's oh yeah, before we start this show. Yeah, it's been oh my god, I've been recording this for 5 minutes. So before we start this show, I want to preface something. Okay. I do not want to make this show a mostly negative space show. Like, what I mean by that is I don't go and rant like I do on my articles. We can just check out in the description. I don't want to be that guy. And I don't want to be the guy that creates, you know, a space of negativity. Like, I would say majority of, like, the wrestling podcasts out there these days. And the reason being is because, I don't want to be one of those, like, fake positivity people on Twitter, because they come off really, really fake. But at the same time, I want to do the positive thing that is, like, authentic and honest. Like, there is some, like, down, like, there's some flaws in what I like and what I, you know, what I like or the best things. And I want to acknowledge that. But at the same time, I don't want to be that guy that spews out a shit ton of negativity. And at the same time, I don't want to be the fake positivity person on, you know, Twitter, which, by the way, you can follow me at Omar the Player Guy. Omar the Player Guy, if you can, you know, understand, you know. Oh my god, this podcast sucks. You know, that's it. That's it for the show, guys. That's just for the show. So anyways, before I start this show, if you're enjoying this so far, just hit the 5 stars on your favorite podcast platforms, if they do have. I know Spotify recently brought it as a feature, and Apple has that for years. So if you really enjoyed this, which I highly doubt, if you truly enjoyed this, please hit that 5 stars. That would, you know, boost out the algorithms and let the algorithm gods know that your boy's podcast is pretty well. I'm having this brain farts, and I do have the notes right in front of my screen, and I'm still having these goddamn brain farts. So yeah. By the way, I might bring some guests on at some point, and what I mean by guests, I mean like industry people that I know that I've cultivated throughout my my 14-year fandom within professional wrestling, and my four years doing this quote unquote wrestling media stuff. Whether it's like journalists, you know, podcasters, YouTubers, writers, hell, I might bring like 2 of my friends who are wrestling fans that might be on this show. So yeah, again, I'm having these brain farts. I hate doing this. This is the first episode already, and it already sucks. I don't blame you guys. If you listen to this, you're like, yo, this mother, yeah, I'd much rather listen to the Oi Bros, you feel me? Other than that, let's jump into the best thing. So yeah, like the last time, we'll talk about, so like the last time, like I recorded, that was episode, I'm gonna call it episode 0, this is technically episode 1, even though I named it the episode 1. So anyways, I'm gonna stick to 3 topics for now, even though, you know, for time constraints. So we'll stick to 3, I might stick to 4. Who knows, especially 4, because this month, February may be the shortest month of the year, but There was a lot of things that happened that month. A lot. Like Cody Rhodes. What's going on with Cody Rhodes? Apparently, you know, if you watch the Monday Night Raw episode, which I don't blame you because Raw fucking sucks and it's a visual nightmare. The Miz on the Miz TV was like, oh, you know, my next guest is dashing. Or like my partner is dashing or whatever. Turns out to be Logan Paul. Which, I mean, I don't blame The Miz for, you know, not separating, but confusing the two. Because here's the thing, if you think about it, they're both exactly the same. In the sense that they're both white, they're both blonde, and they're both anti-racist. So, that's pretty cool, I guess. oh my god, this show fucking sucks. Anyways, like the last time, I'm gonna stick to three of the best things about pro wrestling this month. I might stick to four at some point because right now it's been 11 minutes. it's been 11 minutes and already it's a lot of 11 minutes of bullshit. That's all it is. It is 11 minutes on bullshit. So we'll stick to three. And let's jump into it. The first thing we got to talk about is not a segment, not a show, not a development really, but rather like a reboot of a character. Yes, the first best things about pro wrestling this February is Brock Lesnar. Is a man, aka a man with a lot of names, you know, Vanilla Gorilla, Kid Brock, Brock Lesnar, and the striking dude from Saskatoon, shout out to Moro Ronaldo. Yes, and the first best things about pro wrestling this month is Brock Lesnar. Now, here's the thing. Brock Lesnar is pretty, I think for years he's always portrayed himself as a serious figure, like a pretty serious figure, you know, in the world of professional wrestling. And the first time that we've seen Brock Lesnar be goofy or like his new, like the character that he is, which is pretty much a goofball, was in 03 when he had this buddy-buddy relationships with Kurt Angle to the point where like he did the segment where Kurt Angle was drinking milk and he spewed the milk out of a woman's face. I shouldn't explain you to that unless you're like 12, and that's the case, you shouldn't be even listening to this because you need to eat your chicken nuggies and go back to sleep. I don't know why I sounded like KSI for a moment. You need to go to sleep. Then it evolved to No Way Out 04, where he was doing the mariachi stuff, which, I mean, that's an old timer right there. And then he left the company and he went back. He came back, and he was still a serious, he was still this, they brought back the Brock of old. There was still, like, you know, some goofy stuff, some funny stuff, but the difference is that there was, like, the serious stuff became, like, a meme of itself, or where he was, like, when he called The Undertaker, I think it was The Undertaker, on a Monday Night Raw segment, where he was, like, let's do this. That was a meme. Or whenever like he F5'd Mark Henry on the tape, which by on the table, and then he was like, yeah, or eh, I don't know, I can't do it. I'm recording this in the morning, I'm fucking tired. So, which by the way, Brock Lesnar versus a Mark Henry match, like, and I mean they have wrestled before in on SmackDown like 20 years ago, but I'm talking like World Strongest, I'm talking like Hall of Pain, Mark Henry versus like a Brock Lesnar. That could be awesome. I mean, come on. The only thing, side note, let me go a bit of a tangent because I'm running short on time, but not running short on time, but I gotta fill time rather. Mark Henry's Hall of Pain story was so good, but it had a disappointing ending. It was like, it's like that TV show that was so good, and then the ending was so and you know, that's, if you think about it, every like major like television shows, oh, they always have, at least that I watch, because you know I suck, because my taste sucks and I suck. But you guys don't suck because you guys are great because you're listening to this, all three of you. But but all TV shows have like the worst ending, I think, ever. It, just the worst. Like great TV shows with just bad endings, you know. I'm looking at you, Supernatural. Even though Supernatural themselves had a very have very good season finales. That's the only shows where, like, even though the shows are not very good, I mean, the seasons are pretty much a rehash because it went on for, like, almost 15 years. But anyways, I don't know why I went on this tangent. Anyways, we're coming back to Brock. So why did I put Brock Lesnar in that, in the best things? Well, for one, it's not really a February thing. Again, it's more of a January thing, it's more of a December thing, it's more of a it's more of a December thing, more of a October. It's been his thing since probably August when he showed up like 6 months ago at, when he returned at SummerSlam 2021 in a match against, after Roman Reigns defeated Peacemaker, aka John Cena, aka the man that took his You Can't See Me off of Tony Ayo, which I gotta give him shout out for, because he did shout my man Tony Ayo, aka G-Unit, which, by the way, the jacket that I'm wearing right now, I do look like a member of G-Unit. You know, the difference is my rapping sucks, because I rhyme too much. Even though I do rhyme too much on my, you know, blogs, if you actually read my stuff, the difference is I cannot execute that, because I suck. I am like, but hey, I don't know where I'm going. Okay, this podcast sucks, man. This is one of the worst podcasts of all time. God damn it. Show's over. Show's over. What I was trying to say is that, yeah, I may be the worst rapper of all time, but I'm not Young Thug bad. If you get what I mean. Or Gutta Gutta. You remember Gutta Gutta? Gutta Gutta. No Stevie Wonder. I got her grocery bag. Anyways, coming back to the Brock Lesnar thing, the reason why he's on specifically on February, or like rather like why did I keep it up there, is because he's just a goofy guy. Oh shit. It's rather because he's a goofy guy, you know, and we all love the goofy shit. And I mean WWE especially, the difference is their goofy stuff is does not work. But I do think Brock Lesnar has this sense, unintentional sense of humor that I think WWE hasn't really explored all that much. I mean, they have in segments or when he's unintentionally funny, even when he's serious. But they didn't, the a character wasn't based off of his goofiness. And if you actually think about it, had he stayed and had he explored this character, this goofy side, this, you know, guy with the cowboy hat and, you know, doing the, you know, the silly stuff that I, like I do every single week on my fucking site, which you can read at playoutwrestlingpodcast.blogspot.com. But rather, if you actually think about it, had he stayed with the company, or like had he not left, I thought about this. I was like, he could be a meme. He could be like a meme in the sense that like it could transcend wrestling, similar to a John Cena. Like, his name is John Cena. Or, you know, Randall Keith Orton with his RKO from out of nowhere. So, and here's the thing, okay? And Brock is, and the reason why I do think he has the potential of being, you know, goes outside, like transcends the meme world that's outside of wrestling. I mean, the closest thing to it was when AJ Styles faced The Undertaker at WrestleMania 36. That was the Boneyard match. That was when that picture of like AJ Styles like smiling and the Undertaker's behind it. That is like a perfect meme right there. Like, shout out to the cinematographer or the camera person, because that was a $100 million shot. Because that's what I mean by it transcends professional wrestling, and it turns out the professional wrestling fandom. And I think Brock Lesnar's goofy side could potentially do that. Had he embraced it a lot sooner, had he like stayed and embraced it a lot sooner, but you know, he had to leave because why not? So sorry for the jump cut right there. I had some emergency issues, which by the way, I had to go back to a different room because the thing got a lot my room got a lot noisy, and I have thin ass walls, so bear with me, guys. Bear with me. You're gonna be used to a lot of the edits, the jump cuts or whatever. Not jump cuts, but like the edits, basically. Anyways, what I was trying to say with the Brock Lesnar's goofy side character, rather, is that his character could like transcend professional wrestling because of how silly he is and how like goofy he can. And I do think that it's also a great way to kind of reboot his character. I mean, you look at his stint with Paul Heyman. He's been doing this for the past 10 years, I mean 20 years, and they obviously, like, you know, Paul like portrayed him in Survivor Series 02, you know, and then he kind of reunited with Brock during the Survivor Series 03 match, you know, all big muscly dudes, you know, like the Nathan Jones of the world and Matt Morgan, who for some reason is on Wrestling Inc. Shout out to him, I guess. He's a mayor as well, I think. Shout out to him, I guess. Nathan Jones just said, fuck this shit, I'm out. but anyways, like, he kind of reunited then, and then they both, when, you know, Heyman stopped being GM of SmackDown, that's when he started being himself again. That's when he, you know, he righted solo, as Jason Derulo would say. And then he came back, was kind of solo himself, and then he reunited with Paul, and it's been that duo has been stuck ever since, until 2020, when Roman Reigns came back and is pretty much on the run of his life, and the reign and the character arc of his life. I think this is the best we've seen from Roman, and having Paul was like the best fit for him. And then Brock came back, there was this weird storyline where he was like, where's Paul Heyman's allegiance lie? And then he did reunite with Brock, and then he, you know, and then he backstabbed Brock again against Roman at the Royal Rumble, which, by the way, speaking of the, I did watch the Elimination Chamber show. I didn't review it. I mean, I did review it on my 5 Newsweek, which you can check out on playatwrestlingpodcast.blogspot.com. I did review that. I gave my quick thoughts, and one of the things that I've noticed was that Roman should have intervened. I feel like Roman should have intervened in that match. But I get it, because apparently Bobby Lashley has an injury, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I've not done research. This is just, I'm going raw, you know. I'm going in raw, you know. What was that song from like the 90s? We're going in raw. I don't know what the fucking, I'm tired. I am so goddamn tired. Like, this podcast sucks. This is my first episode and I'm already just bullshitting. Anyways, so yeah, what I was trying to say is that Brock's duo with Paul Heyman is, I wouldn't say stale, and I wouldn't say, I love it. They could do that for 40 years until, like, Brock retires. I think it's great. I think Paul is one of the best, if not the best, in terms of his mic work. Because he's literally, if we had a promo class of, like, character work or best talkers, like, Paul Heyman is up there. Like, he is literally the GOAT. But, you know, it needed some change, and I think it needed a lot of change, and it needed some change. Not really. I don't know where my mind is going with this, but what I was trying to say is that Brock Lesnar had a bit of a reboot, a character reboot as well, in the sense that it was the goofy side again with the cowboy hat and all the silliness that he is. So I think Brock's character was a necessary way to like make the character interesting and make the character feel fresh without reverting back to the risk, the same old with Brock and Paul, which, by the way, I respect. You know, like, I always respect writers that takes risks, writers that takes risks with their stories and takes liberties with their the risk that they're taking. Sometimes it's not executed well, but even though it's not executed well, like as a writer myself, it does like have written shitty fiction stuff because that's what all writers used to do, I guess. I always respected because while I wouldn't like, I didn't like the execution, I've always respected that they took that risk because you're trying to do something completely different with the narrative, and you're trying to and risking all risking all the narrative and what makes the entire storytelling great in the first place, and could have easily made it safe. I don't know why I said safe. What am I, a southerner now? Goddamn safe. Goddamn. Holy shit. You know, goddamn safe. I don't know why I just said that. This podcast sucks, by the way. Anyways, Brock Lesnar. Anyways, so this is why I appreciate Brock Lesnar and his goofy side. You know, so to recap, it's a risk-taking. It's a risk-taking for his narrative in the sense that, like, they're trying to do something different. And it's pretty fun, and it's funny. You know, it's, you know, especially him talking to Adam Pearce on a SmackDown segment with the goddamn cell phone. Like, that's pretty funny. That is pretty fucking funny. So that is my tangent on why Brock Lesnar's goofy character is the best thing about pro wrestling on the month of February, which you can count as the best of month of January, and the month of December, and the month of November, and the month of October, and the month of September, and the month, and a little bit of the month of August, because basically ever since his return in 2021 SummerSlam show, which I sound like a goddamn news anchor when I'm speaking about SummerSlam. Oh my god, let's just move on. So the second last best thing about pro wrestling this month is a match. It is a match, specifically a match, speaking of WWE, but this time on the blue brand. It is for the blue women's belt. It is Naomi versus Charlotte Flair, which, by the way, I gotta preface this by saying I'm working on a piece regarding Naomi, on which will be up on Monday, hopefully, so stay tuned for that. It is, all I can tell you is that it's regarding one fateful moment. I would say it's probably one of the most missed booking opportunities in WWE history. I know you're gonna look at me like I'm crazy, but that's how I feel, because that's just how I feel. Anyways, it is obviously a match between Naomi and Charlotte Flair on SmackDown a few weeks ago. I didn't even wrote the goddamn date. This is how unprepared this fucking show is. But so, what made this match so great? Obviously, they've had great matches before. I think a few weeks before that, and they've had great matches. They've had great chemistry before, but this is one of those moments where this is where Naomi and Charlotte Flair did step up. This is when it went from like a good match to even a great match. Which, by the way, I gotta preface this by saying, this match should have been one of the marquee matches for SummerSlam 2017, instead of when Naomi was the SmackDown. This is when, you know, role reverse, where Naomi was the champion and Charlotte Flair should have been like Naomi versus Charlotte Flair at SummerSlam, because I think that was like the marquee match, instead of like Naomi versus Natalya, which, by the way, I like Natalya. I think she's a great asset. I think she is a legend. She's Hall of Fame. I think she should be one of those active member rosters where she could be a Hall of Famer while at the same time being a competitor. At the same time still being an active competitor. I know Edge is a Hall of Famer and still an active competitor. But I'm saying, like, in the sense that, like it's a continuous thing. Because when Edge got into Hall of Fame, he was already retired. He was already, like, that was a year into his into him not being in the world of professional wrestling from an in-ring sense anymore. So, like, you know, Natalya could go from that side to go from, you know, that that angle. Like, that's what I was trying to say, because, you know, she is making history, because WWE loves making history, you know. But anyways, so what makes this match so great? Well, both, first of all, they're both great competitors, so you know what you're getting into. You're getting a good match, and you know that you know that you're going to see this match and go, you know what, this is pretty effing, this match ruled harder than a monarch, you know. You know that, and you know that they're going to deliver. But the second thing why this specific match was best amongst the rest of the other matches was that it was pretty ruled harder than a monarch. So that's the other sense, I guess. Weehoo, another jump cut. Thanks, thanks my thin ass walls and loud ass goddamn neighbors. Anyways, going back to the match between Naomi and Charlotte Flair, one of the things that I appreciated about this match was that it was just athletic. Like, you saw Naomi doing the rear view, doing all, like, jumping from the top rope, doing sunset flips. By the way, Naomi has one of the best sunset flips I've seen in professional wrestling. She is that good. She is one of the best in terms of, like, sunset flips. I'll put her, look, I know, call me crazy, but I think you could put her in the Bret Hart. You know, the Bret Hart's sunset flip is pretty good too, but I think Naomi's up there. I think Naomi isn't, at least, I wouldn't say top three, but I would say top five. Like, she is very, very athletic. So, obviously, Charlotte, like, she brought her submission. She brought her technical, you know, in-ring that you could honestly think, I think Charlotte Flair has been in this company for so long that you could honestly put her in the in-ring, the ring general. Like, you know, the Triple H, you know, that in-ring general where, like, she's going to deliver no matter what the match. She's going to, like, try to deliver, rather, or she's trying to lead. Sometimes it works like this match, and sometimes it doesn't. Like, I'm looking at you, Lacey versus Naomi on last year's Monday Night Raw episode. My goodness, that was not a good match. But I do appreciate that in-ring kind of, like, leading aspect of not only the technical sense but also in her technical style, whether it's like the submissions or sometimes the chops, but also the fact that she's pretty, she knows how to lead basically, and she knows how to take that match, or at least wants to try to make this match to the next level. And like I said earlier, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but I do appreciate that, and that kind of solidifies Charlotte Flair as one of the best in this company. So, and I know some people might cringe when I say that, but she is very, very much talented. So it is, it's a great match. I mean, I know, you know, Miss Susan DeVille over here, Miss Susan DeVille. I know some people like using the word Karen. I like using the word Susan because it's just funnier in my opinion. So Miss Susan DeVille over here couldn't interfere in that match, so there was no, I think the other best thing about this match was that it didn't have the typical WWE formula, which was like during the crucial points in the match, Naomi had to there's gonna be some distraction finishes. Gotta love the distraction finishes. I mean, I love distraction finishes so badly that I wrote a whole fucking piece about it, which you can check out on playoutwrestlingpodcast.com, and the article is top three best distraction finishes, which hopefully you guys enjoy it. All 1,000 of you, I guess, because I suck. Anyways, so it didn't, okay, what up? Oh my god, I'm having the brain farts out of my fucking head. You know what, this podcast sucks. You know what, the show's over. Now for real, the Naomi and Charlotte Flair match didn't have, you know, the typical WWE formula, in the sense that it didn't have during like the final moments of the match, there's gonna be somebody coming, showing up, distracting the ref, and then it leads to like a chair shot or like an object, and it leads to a win, or sometimes a count out if it's an NXT match, and then the crowd goes wild. God damn it, I miss NXT 1.0. Well, actually, it's NXT 2.0, because this is NXT 3.0. NXT 1.0 was the reality show one, you know, the one with the intro that sounded straight out of a CW drama. Yeah, that one. Anyways, yeah, that match, it was a start to finish. It was just all them, and they told a great story, and they told it was a great finish. You had Naomi kind of struggling for a little bit, and then Charlotte Flair took that as an opportunity to be slick. I won't say slick, but rather took that as an opportunity to hit the final selection to win this match. And I think that is, I want to see more matches like this, especially in WWE. I know AEW does a good job in like letting the guys tell the story, and I don't mind distraction finishes as long as like the story calls for it. It's just that a lot of times WWE tends to do that a lot, especially when it comes to heel wrestlers. I think the best moment, or like the best use of a distraction finish, is SummerSlam 97 with Bret Hart and The Undertaker, and when Shawn Michaels was like the referee and there was like some tensions or whatever. I wouldn't say that's a distraction finish, but that was like where like the tension that was going on outside of the in-ring stuff kind of made that match pretty, kind of like it fits to the whole narrative. And it honestly, and if I'm actually thinking about that Survivor Series match between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels that lead to you know what, because it's been repeated more times than a goddamn Fast and Furious franchise, than Fast and Furious with their movies. There's there more movies than WWE mentioning the Montreal Screwjob, or rather using the Montreal Screwjob in multiple different storylines. But anyways, like I said, that match should have been a triple threat match between Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, and The Undertaker, because it made sense, because Undertaker feuded with Shawn Michaels at Bad Blood, which led to the first Hell in a Cell match. So like, I think the storytelling kind of was worth it. But anyway, I'm going on a weird tangent, going with the, you know, how to book stuff. If you want to do that, just watch the Oi Bruvs, because for some reason they love British dudes talking about professional wrestling. Like, I don't, this is by the way a weird tangent that I'm going with, but like, why are they so popular? Like, that is something that I've never understood. Like, the British mofos, like, is it because their accent? Like, compared to, like, the American channels, like, the Fightfuls or, like, the Wrestling Inks, like, people with YouTube channels, other than maybe Wrestling With Regret and other established YouTube and WWE 2K YouTubers like BDE, Brian Does Everything, when it comes to, like, purely discussing about professional wrestling, I think the UK mofos, like, they got, in terms of viewership, it's always, like, on an all-time high. And I've always never understood that, why, because I remember when they on What Culture, when they brought in like an American dude, people just instantly hated him. So like, I'm just gonna assume it's because of their accent, you know. It's like, imagine, you know, talking about on today's episode of Wrestle Talk, we're gonna talk about why Kurt Angle loves bestiality. Oh my god, that was the worst British accent. I can do better British accent than this, but for some reason I'm so tired I can't even do it right now. Anyways, yeah, that is why I like Naomi versus Charlotte Flair at a SmackDown episode, because Wrestle Talk, because of the wrestling content creators apparently, and Bad Blood 97 and Survivor Series 97. This podcast sucks, but hit that 5 stars though, or 1 star, because, well, I don't blame you. Anyways, the last thing, number three, the best things about pro wrestling this week is, I would say, a moment, and that moment was when Keith Lee showed up to AEW, you know. And by the way, that theme song, shout out to Mike Ruckus, that is a fantastic theme, even though I do prefer his theme in WWE. But then he came out of a theme song straight out of like a goddamn ad, like a trucker ad or something. So yeah, so what made this debut so great? Well, first, shout out to Isaiah Cassidy of Private Party for selling his ass off for Keith Lee. But second of all, it was just a great moment for Keith Lee. Like, that was, Keith Lee is probably one of the most under. He was so underutilized when he showed up in the main roster, other than when he defeated Randy Orton clean, and that was a pretty cool moment. And then he just, it was just a weird character trajectory, and you know, and then he had some health issues, which, by the way, I'm very happy that he not only opened up, but also the fact that he had people supporting him. He had family members, not family member, but like family members, you could say family, like friends and fans that were there for him. So that was awesome. And what made this is a combination, I think, as fans, of seeing Keith Lee being on a bigger stage again, and wanted to see, because unlike WWE, you trust Tony Khan to put Keith Lee into the next level and make Keith Lee and put him into, like, you know, at least on a TNT championship or TNT title picture, because I don't think he's going to be in the AEW world title soon, because I think MJF is going to take that title at some point, like later this year or early next year. I'm looking at you, Louis Dango, for making Hangman Page's transitional champion, even though he's not going to listen to it, because again, I'm a freaking nobody. This moment, this Keith Lee moment, I sound like Michael McKittycutty right now. Curtis Axel. I sounded like Curtis Axel in that NXT promo. You know, this is the moment. The moment. This is the moment. The real moment. So yeah, that Keith Lee moment, I have nothing else to say other than it was a combination of why people wanted to see Naomi for a second. Shout out to Naomi. To see why Keith Lee, to put Keith Lee on the next level, and to put Keith Lee on, you know, on the level that I think WWE hasn't put him on there, in that level, unfortunately. But hopefully we get, and also like I'm gonna say an unpopular opinion. I actually don't mind the Bearcat stuff. I actually don't mind, because I was like, oh, he's, you know, he's big as a bear and quick as a cat. You know, that's what I thought about. I didn't know somebody brought up like historical context. Like there was a professional wrestler who was also an African American who also used the Bearcat name. So I didn't even know that. That was pretty cool. But yeah, Keith Lee as this debut was pretty great. And hopefully, you know, hopefully he, you know, does what he does, and hopefully like AEW recognizes talent, because I do think Keith Lee is a world champion. He is a world champion level, and also like just release. I don't know where I'm going with this. Oh my god, this podcast sucks. Oh my goodness, this is one of the worst podcasts of all time, right behind the white dudes that rants about WWE for like 2 hours. I'm like literally up there. Anyways, what I was trying to say is that I hope at some point when T-Bar, aka Dominik Dijakovic, shows up to AEW at some point, I hope they get to reunite that feud. Or hopefully they could, you know, imagine them battling out for the AEW world title at some point. That could be great. You know, they did that for the NXT, for the North American title, because that was awesome. And hopefully we could see that on an AEW stage, you know, as the main event. Oh my god, can you imagine? Oh my god, I am literally getting excited at the notion of that rivalry going on. But anyways, yeah, that debut was awesome. And hopefully, like I said earlier, that AEW utilizes his talents to the next level, and to the next level, and hopefully they could utilize him to the point where he could be like one of the biggest marquee guys in the company. So yeah, that is all the show notes that I got. If you did enjoy this, which I highly doubt, because I was rambling on and all that other stuff, I was rambling, talking about Survivor Series. I mean, the Naomi and Charlotte Flair, man. I wasn't even talking about Naomi versus Charlotte Flair. I was talking about Survivor Series 97 and effing Bad Blood 97 and then SummerSlam 97 rather than the entire match, rather than the Naomi Charlotte Flair match. But if you enjoyed this weird tangent that I have, please hit that 5-star ratings on Apple Podcast and all other that has an all other major platform that has one. I know Spotify has one, so if you could do that, that would be great. You can rely or like let the algorithmic gods know that I am popping off, I guess. And by the way, follow me on Twitter at Homer the Player Guy. Follow the site at Playout Wrestling Podcast at blogspot.com. It was so yeah, that is pretty much it. This was a lot of fun. This was really, really fun. Besides the ramblings and stuff. And so yeah, it's been 45 minutes since I've talked, and I would like to keep it that way because that was my aim, 45 minutes to an hour. So I would like to keep all of that. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So stay safe, Smarks, and we out.